The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
Welcome to Commentary from the Edge. I'm your host, Elbert Lewis. Today my rant is entitled, The Decline of the Presidency. Now, I guess you're wondering where I'm going with this. For the last, a couple of weeks, after witnessing the Affordable Care Act debacle, the standoff that's taking place between the president and the Republican members of Congress, the intransigence of both sides, it occurred to me that most of this is happening because the president is no longer what the president used to be, or I should say the position, the presidency, is not what it used to be. And at first, I sort of attributed it to racism, but then I started thinking, no, we can't. It didn't all happen during the Obama administration. It started long, long time ago. And I started thinking, when exactly did this decline start? Have you ever heard the term, a fish rots first from the head? Well, I think that's what's happening with the presidency. And I think that has a large part to do with what's happening to the country. Because when you think about it, Congress can come up with any stupid, insane, wasteful spending bill that they want. But the president always has the option of vetoing it. Now, of course, with a two-thirds majority, Congress can come back and overrule his veto. But still, given that, the president has the bully pulpit. And if we had decent presidents all along, I don't think this country would be in the financial mess that it's in. And that's what got me thinking. When did it start? And so I did a little research and I read a little bit, and I guess the demarcation came after the Eisenhower presidency. President Dwight D. Eisenhower, war hero, supreme commander of our European forces in World War II, came back, was elected president. His most notable achievement was the interstate system. Also, I think his administration was probably one of the last of the honest administrations. You remember his warning about the military-industrial complex? You don't hear a president speaking like that anymore, telling the truth. But I think his most or biggest achievement was he didn't do anything really stupid in office. But after that, things just started going downhill. For instance, Kennedy, John F. Kennedy, yes, the icon. John F. Kennedy, that's when it started. Because look at it this way. Yes, he had memorable events during his presidency. He stood up to the Soviet Union when they tried to stage intermediate ballistic missiles in Cuba. But that was in response to us placing intermediate nuclear missiles in Turkey and in other European countries. So, yeah, in a sense, he got them to back down. But eventually, we removed those missiles from Turkey. So it was sort of a backdoor, behind-the-scenes deal. But Kennedy had a chance to free Cuba, the Bay of Pigs, and he lost his nerve. We had a chance to support those freedom fighters at the Bay of Pigs, and we didn't. And also, Kennedy's biggest blunder was getting himself assassinated. His assassination was in response to our CIA trying to assassinate Castro. You doubt what I'm saying? Why else would the United States of America continue an embargo against a tiny island nation with a communist government while at the same time trade with the biggest communist nation on earth, communist China? Why would they do that? It makes no sense whatsoever. The only rational reason that I can come up with is that our government knows for a fact that Kennedy was assassinated in retaliation for assassination attempts by our CIA on Castro. And as long as Castro lives, we will not recognize communist Cuba. Now, after Kennedy died, then came Johnson, Lyndon B. Johnson. Not only did this man screw up in Vietnam with his gradualism and not taking the war to North Vietnam, the whole time we had troops over there dying, they would not bomb Haiphong Harbor because Russian trawlers were docking there, bringing weapons from the Soviet Union that the North Vietnamese was using to kill our people. They also would not bomb the bridges and railroads into China. He's the knucklehead that presided over taking surplus Social Security contributions, rolling them into the general fund to pay for his debacle in Vietnam. And to top it all off, Johnson came up with the Great Society programs. He took a walk down in Appalachia, and he was shocked that white people still lived the way they did. And he came up with the Great Society programs, which black people piggybacked on. And now this is a ravenous monster eating us out of house and home and threatens to bankrupt the nation. And then after Johnson came Richard Nixon. What can anyone say about Richard Nixon and his administration? His tenure was a disaster. Not only was his vice president, Spiro Agnew, drummed out of office, forced to resign because of graft and other illegal activities. And then Richard Nixon himself, the only president that was made to resign because of malfeasance in office or breaking the law or giving orders to people who broke the law. And then came Gerald Ford. He got in because Nixon had to resign, and he stumbled his way through one term. But you know what he did? He pardoned Nixon. So the country was denied justice. There was no true justice rendered in the Nixon debacle. And then after Ford came none other than Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter is very significant in my life. And I tell you why. Prior to Jimmy Carter, I was totally apolitical. As far as I was concerned, it didn't matter who was in the White House. Didn't matter who my senators were or representatives or who the mayor or who was on city council, who the governor was. It didn't matter. Because in this country, if you know what you want to do, if you're willing to work hard, if you refrain from self-destructive behavior, if you take advantage of everything that's here, that's offered to you, you can make it. And so it didn't matter to me who was in the White House. But then Jimmy Carter was so weak as a president. He gave us American malaise. You remember that? And also when the Iranians took over our embassy, sovereign American soil, he did nothing. That was deplorable. And he embarrassed our nation to the rest of the world. And as a recently discharged Marine, I was outraged. He should have had 2 carrier battle groups in the Persian Gulf. He should have had 2 division of Marines ready to hit the beaches and tell those people, you release our embassy staff immediately and get the hell out of our embassy. Get off of our sovereign territory or I'll send the Marines in. And if they didn't, that's what should have been done. And that man was so weak, so pathetic as a president that at the age of 30, I voted for the first time and I voted for Ronald Reagan, which was basically a vote against Jimmy Carter. That man had to go. What can I say about Reagan, the icon of the Republican Party? You know, during the Iran-Contra hearings, when Reagan said, I don't recall what 50,000 times, the man was telling the truth. He was suffering from early onset Alzheimer's. He didn't know what the hell he was doing half the time. His staff, his cabinet, the other people, the big shots in the Republican Party, they were running the show. Reagan was a figurehead. Now, they give him all this credit for standing up to the Soviet Union and bringing the Berlin Wall down. But what they don't say is this. At the time, we were spending billions and billions and billions of dollars in armaments in a face-off with the Soviet Union. Remember, mutual assured destruction, we were feeding those people. That's right. We were sending grain shipments to the Soviet Union so they could turn their plowshares into weapons, and then we had to spend more billions to counter that. A monumental duplicity on the part of a president. And somehow, the man got away with that. And the other big blunder in the Reagan tenure. Reagan was the one who approved amnesty for 6 million illegal immigrants. And they brought another 10 to 15 million family members with them. And not only that, it was like hanging out a big billboard on the border that says, come on over, come on over. Because eventually, you're going to be made legal. So Reagan is the grandfather of this whole illegal immigrant problem in the United States. And then, after Reagan, came George H.W. Bush. Now, George H.W. Bush was not a screw-up, per se. He was more like a caretaker. He sort of rested on the laurels of the Reagan administration. His biggest screw-up, and during Desert Storm, not marching to the capital of Iraq and deposing Saddam Hussein. He stopped short, and he set us up for the second Iraqi war. And then came Bill Clinton. That man was sitting in the Oval Office thinking with the small head most of the time. And because he did not have his mind on the job, he did not take the threat of radical Islam seriously. There was an occasion when he could have had Osama bin Laden in custody, but his administration turned it down. There was a time when they could have bombed the hell out of Al-Qaeda when they were first getting established, but he didn't. He just tossed a few cruise missiles and thought he had done something. So Bill Clinton, with his weak response to terrorism, especially in Mogadishu, his weak response to terrorism, I believe, set the stage for what we're dealing with now with Al-Qaeda. Clinton's biggest blunder was signing the bill that repealed the Glass-Steagall Act, which allowed the banks to get into all kinds of risky investments that eventually led to the subprime mortgage meltdown. Yes, that was Clinton's folly. And then, after Clinton, then came George W. Bush. This man was strutting around with his fake John Wayne persona. And he somehow convinced us that he was heroic after 9/11, after the attack on the Twin Towers, after the attack on the Pentagon. He convinced us that they were not negligent in that whole thing. After all, there had been a terrorist attack in New York during the Clinton administration, and he did basically nothing. So now George W. Bush, president, did what any president would have done after the 9/11 attacks. We went and attacked the people who claimed credit for it in Afghanistan, Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan, when the Taliban government didn't turn them over, didn't in essence, turn the leader of Al-Qaeda over, and we went and got him, or we attempted to. But George Bush, strutting around, thinking he's John Wayne with his John Wayne diplomacy, with his John Wayne antics. You remember landing on a carrier, strutting around in his flight suit? But he took his eyes off the ball, off the prime target, Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan, and using what we now know is really unreliable information and intelligence, he invaded Iraq. And the result was over $1 trillion in wasted money and counting, 5,000 American lives lost for nothing. He presided over the near collapse of our economy. And then, to compound his mistake, he decided to bail out the people who caused the meltdown to the tune of $800 billion, nearly another $1 trillion. His administration gave us the drug benefit program, another huge entitlement program. And then, after George Bush, we have Barack Obama. Now, Obama has been a huge, huge disappointment to me. After I started voting for Reagan, I pretty much voted Republican up until Obama, about 70-30. I was never a straight ticket voter. I would pay attention to the issues. I pay attention to the candidates. But I have to say, I have to be honest, the Republican candidate at every level, city, state, federal, was more in line with my thinking, my conservatism. But I got caught up in the phenomena of a black man having a true shot at the presidency, something I didn't believe would ever happen in my lifetime. But there it was, and he won. And I truly thought that this man was saying what he had to say as a liberal Democratic candidate to get elected. But I thought he was too intelligent to actually believe that stuff. But I was wrong. He is a true limousine liberal. He truly believes that government can raise people out of poverty. Yeah, government can feed you. Government can house you. Government can now will pay your medical bills, give you medical insurance that productive people have worked for. But they can't. Government can't change that mentality, that poverty mentality. Government can't change that. Only the person, the individual, can change that. But with some people, as long as there is that alternative, that safety net, that giveaway, that freebie, they will take it. It doesn't matter what race or gender you are. If you're of that mindset, you're going to take advantage of it. And so we find ourselves, or I should say, our elected officials spending us into insolvency because of the false notion that liberals have that you can buy self-esteem, that you can buy self-respect, or you can buy it and buy it with other people's money. It doesn't work, and we're going bankrupt. And I thought that man was intelligent enough to see that. But yeah, he's intelligent, but the philosophy, the ideology, it trumps that intelligence. And I should have known better. And the other big disappointment of the Obama and the Obama administration is this man has the bully pulpit, the golden mic. He could have inspired black people. He could have been honest and said, listen, I know what racism is. I know how corrosive, how hurtful, and how debilitating it can be. But we owe it to our ancestors, to our slave ancestors, or to the generations that came after that had to endure Jim Crow and hardcore discrimination to make more of our lives than standing on the corner with your pants hanging below your butt, selling drugs, putting a bullseye on your chest, going to prison, having babies you can't afford, drug and drinking yourself into oblivion. You owe more than that to your ancestors. And it is incumbent upon every black person to rise above racism. If you let racism keep you down, it's your own damn fault. Of course, as a president, he can't use that kind of language, but the message should have been the same. The message that as a black person in America, recognize this. White people are no different from any other people, any other human being. They will discriminate. Everybody discriminates. Black, white, green, or purple. Just look at the African continent. And so, if you're going to stay in America, and you have the option to leave, but if you're going to stay in America, it is incumbent upon you to find a way over, under, around, or through racism to achieve your goals in life and make a decent home and life and environment for the kids you bring into this world. And if you're not doing that, it's a slap in the face to your ancestors that had to endure what they did to bring you to this point, to give you this opportunity. And he has not said that. And that is my biggest disappointment with him. Well, and the biggest blunder of the Obama administration is his fixation with the liberal agenda. Coming into office, knowing what shape the economy was in, that should have been his primary concern. But no, he went straight to the liberal agenda. And when it came to the economy, he threw it off to his Democratic sycophants, the ideologues in the Congress. And what did they do? They came up with a stimulus bill that was nothing but Port Borough projects that they didn't have a prayer of getting through a normal vote in Congress. Instead of the president convening a panel, a bipartisan panel of economic and financial experts to guide him through the recovery, he turned it over to the Democratic demagogues. And what was the result? An economy that's been limping along when much more could have been done. They would have done it correctly. And why this man continues to fight with the Republicans about giving them away more freebies, I'll never know. It's stupid. And that's why my conclusion is that one of the reasons why this country is in the shape that it's in is because we've had a string of presidents who were presidents, but not statesmen. They were people who were either in it for their own aggrandizement or for the advancement of their own philosophy or their party's philosophy, and they didn't give a damn how it affected the country as a whole and how it affected the future of the nation, because both parties have stood by with their own personal and party agendas and drove this nation into debt that we'll probably never be able to pay off. And they continue to do it and somehow justify it. The Republicans continue to scream and shout and throw tantrums about the public assistance programs while they fight tooth and nail for corporate welfare. Why is it okay in their minds to give tax breaks and outright grants and other forms of financial gain to people who don't need the money, and somehow they consider people who, well, admittedly, because of their own screw-ups, who do need the money? So I don't see a way out. And that's why I think that this decline of the presidency, because a fish rots from the head first, that this republic is doomed. Now, I'm not saying the whole nation is going to flake off and blow away. No, that won't happen, because there's a certain inertia, because it's still the biggest economy in the world. But I fear that because of the decline of the presidency, there will be a decline in the nation, in the republic that we call the United States of America, and we'll all be worse off for it. Until next time, I'm your host, Elbert Lewis, from The Edge.